Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Stian Åmli. He is the Vice President Shipping of Estion, based in Oslo, Norway. Stian, first and foremost, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much, Bo. Happy to be here.
Yeah, same for me. We come from a generation where we didn't have Zoom in the beginning, but it's actually quite smart that we can do this.
It is. But then again, I am looking forward to seeing you in person in just a few days. So yeah,
same here.
So that's going to be nice. And
definitely.
Looking out the window here in Oslo today, it's 8 degrees, raining and gray and foggy. So it will be nice to change that with some blue skies and slightly higher temperatures.
Definitely. I fully concur. Before we move on with the practical questions, I always allow my accused or interviewee to give a little rundown just briefly on their career leading up to this position. It's certainly a change for you. Who are you and where are you from, Stian?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I am from Norway, but I had the pleasure of living abroad. I studied business in France and England. Mm-hmm. Then I joined Saga Velco, which is an open hatch gantry crane commercial operator, so dry bulk for about 4 years. Then I moved into DNV, the Norwegian Classification Society, working in consulting there for primarily ship owners. Mm-hmm. And then I went into RoRo some 14 years ago, had a very diverse exposure to RoRo at Höegh Autoliners, one of the big six deep sea carriers, working in sales, operations, capacity management, and also trade. Mm-hmm. And then, like many others during COVID, life is too short to only do one thing. So I joined Estion, which is a small Norwegian startup or scale-up in the maritime industry in February this year.
Okay, interesting career. And you certainly can say that you've been around the block with very reputable ship owners and even DNV here. It's quite impressive. Good to hear, Stian. One thing I'd like to also understand, also our viewers to understand, Estion.
Yes.
What is that?
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, as you can see,
behind you.
That's how you write it.
Yeah.
Well, we are a market intelligence company focusing on the maritime industries. And by maritime industries, we have three separate segments of the industry that we cover. One is offshore drilling rigs. The other is offshore wind, which of course is very popular these days with the energy crisis and energy security. And then we have shipping. I started then some 7-8 months ago. Time flies when you're having fun, as they say. And we are really tracking activity data for the RoRo sector, because it all starts with the vessels and the activity the vessel do. Because A, any activity leads to emissions.
Yeah.
And B, any activity also leads to delivering the service that the shipping lines, that's their primary task, is moving cargo from A to B.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, we are tracking 704 PCTCs every other minute, actually. We have, through our collaboration with Hestnes Shipping, which is a ship broker, mapped each vessel to a commercial operator. And why do we do that? Well, in order for us to be able to calculate as precisely as possible, A, the emission of NYK, Höegh, Glovis, Grimaldi, all the big names, and look at their service delivery. How many sailings did they have from port A to B? What is the frequency? What is the transit time? What is the reliability? Okay. Because in the end of the day, Bo, yes, you say there's a lot of emission focus in the industry today, but we don't believe that you can view emissions in a silo. The competitiveness of tomorrow for a shipping line needs to be A, you need to be greener than your competitor.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you also need to deliver a first-class service to your clients.
Mm-hmm.
And our product, which we are launching or have soft launch already, we have 4 clients on board, including 2 freight forwarders. It's really about understanding the relationship between a sustainability strategy and a commercial strategy, because you need to be green, but you also need to provide a good service.
Right. So of course, let's say the buzzword nowadays, I'm now speaking for many of my viewers who I know feel a little bit the same like me, that we read about green all the time. We know that we want renewable. Of course we do. We want cleaner energy. What's not to like about that? But what you are in a way offering is a way to monitor. I mean, the sales point in the future will be that you are greener than your competitor. And how to prove that? How to track that you are? How to prove that I am greener than my neighbor? I can do that by showing someone a proof that I put my rubbish in the right place. He doesn't. In a way, in a little bit of a stupid example, but in a way, you are providing a solution whereby companies can keep a track on how much they emit and then verify that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really about benchmarking. When you have the 700 vessels, and I can also add, also due to the audience, that yes, RoRo is our first segment. Then the next one out is MPVs and heavy lift. Okay. Yeah, then we are really covering a lot of the project cargo movements. It's really for the shipping line themselves. Normally, have a pretty good idea of their fuel consumption and as such their CO2, but they don't really know how well they are performing against their competitors. And if you go on any shipping line's webpage, it's all about we are super green, we are the most sustainable, and so on and so forth. But there isn't any independent third party that can actually compare apples to apples and give a kind of granular view on how does these operators really compare. And then for a cargo owner, it's coming with the scope 3 emissions, which means that you as a cargo owner, you need to report on your supply chain emission.
Right.
So for a shipping line, it's scope 1, which is the emissions for your primary business activity.
Yeah.
And then it's scope 2, which is a bit like lighting in the office and how do you get to the office and how it's kind of auxiliary emissions carried out. But the scope 3 is very important for freight forwarders and cargo owners to really understand their footprint of moving cargo from A to B. And often it's across the half the world, you know.
So if I may just quickly interject here, Stian, that now is starting to clear for me as well here, and also for many in my audience, I believe. So let's put it this way. We have a customer called Andritz, just take an example, or it could be Valmet in Finland. They have a project to Indonesia. They will send out the request for quotation to the forwarder, but they will also say, we want that you use the most sustainable solution, and we want you to verify and track which solution is better, because we want to be part of making the environment greener. So what you're saying is it'll come from the shipper from whom we all live. Then it'll trickle down to the ship owner. It'll trickle down to the forwarder in between, the trucking company, and so on. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And the main advantage of our system having the kind of helicopter view of the segment is that you can easily compare one operator or even one asset. You can look at individual vessels. But of course, if you're placing a booking, you don't really know which vessel the cargo is going on. But in the end of the day, it's all about transparency, and it's all about really having that super quick view of who is best in class and who is maybe not so good. However, it's also, I think in this context, it's good to be best, but it's also, it's a common responsibility that all the stakeholders in the industry need to get the emissions down in order to meet the Paris Agreement. Yeah. And then you can also look at, maybe you have a ship owner who has all the ships, but then say the development in the last 3 months have been really good, and they can also then use the system to showcase their relative performance, EI, how much have they been able to to cut down. So that is really about the emission part. And then since we are tracking the 700 ships every day, we also have this really innovative commercial application, which in all honesty is what freight forwarders and shipping lines first kind of, ooh, this is really cool. Because yes, it is actually quite cool. and there you are, say you are a freight forwarder and you get a cargo inquiry from say Antwerp to Dar es Salaam. And then you are wondering, okay, which shipping line have the best service in that route? Our system, you just simply put in Antwerp, Dar es Salaam, and then in 0.5 seconds, and, and then you can also choose, do you want to see the last 3 months, the last 6 months, the last year, the last 2 years? And then you would get a nice graph with all the shipping lines having performed that route, and then you can easily see, okay, maybe this shipping line is the one I should contact first. But then this will only show you the direct route. So if you are, of course, if you have worked in the industry a bit, you think, okay, direct, maybe not that easy, but I could transship in Durban. And then you would just do Antwerp, Durban. You get these shipping lines with the transit time, the frequency, the reliability, the spread between the ships and so on. And then you do Antwerp, Durban, Antwerp, Dar es Salaam. Durban, Dar es Salaam. And then you can combine the two, and then maybe you actually should, in order to get the cargo quickest from A to B, you need to transship it in Durban with two carriers, for instance.
Okay. And then my question is, of course, since green is on everyone's agenda, there's never any free lunch anywhere. And the question is, of course, we all want green, but are we also, as customer, as forwarder, as ship owner, as shipper, are we willing to pay for it? Let's assume that some ship owner is more green than the next one, but his freight rate, reasonably so, might also be a little bit higher. Can you see, is there a trend that, let's say, it starts from the, let's say, the well-reputed ship owners, that it's starting to come more and more, that they take that as a competition parameter, so that it's not only the rate, they also compete on this now, right?
Yeah, well, in all honesty, if you asked me a year ago, I would say no. right now, of course, space is extremely scarce. So now it's all about the space. However, we do see a gradual shift in the industry, whereby some cargo owners are willing to pay for a green example. We see that, for instance, my previous employer, the BMW, are now paying for biofuel on some of the Höegh voyages. Okay. That is just one example of whereby a cargo owner is willing to make an investment. But then you get the EU ETS, the European Trading System, coming likely into effect in 24. And that puts a direct cost of emitting whenever a shipping line is trading in or out of EU or in EU waters.
Okay.
So then emitting becomes a cost issue. And then, of course, if you emit less, you have lower cost. And then theoretically, at least, you are able to provide a lower rate to your competitors. So there you get an advantage.
So basically, this is definitely a snowball, let's say a green snowball that you no longer can stop. I mean, it's coming, and it will not, it will just grow bigger and bigger, this requirement, I suppose.
Absolutely. And CII is another word that is often seen in the press. The carbon intensity indicator that the IMO is pushing on ship owners, and that's basically one way of calculating how much CO2 a ship is emitting on a daily basis. You basically take the fuel consumption multiplied by a CO2 factor. You divide it by the nautical miles of the vessel, and then you multiply it by the size of the ship. So this is kind of a grading system that the IMO is now instilling as of 1st of January 23. Okay. So that's coming in 4 months.
Okay.
And it's going to be tighter and tighter and tighter every year for a ship owner to live up to these standards. And if you are not graded C, B, or A, you have a problem.
Okay.
And also for a freight forwarder, say you are chartering or part charter a vessel, if that has an E or a D rating, I would be extremely careful because you could end up with class being revoked, the port authorities will arrest the ship.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of discussions on really the implications of ending up below a C. And conversely, if you get a B or an A, what is the carrot? There's also some discussions now on leaving, for instance, certain ports are considering a lower port cost. So it's unfortunately in the sustainability space, there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of uncertainties. But in the end of the day, the main main goal for everyone is to get the CO2 emissions down,
right.
So we can live up to the Paris Agreement.
Okay, that was very, very clear. Yes, it really some wide ranging implications here. I can see one thing I'd like to ask Estian. Tell me if a middle sized forwarder, say coming here from Stockholm where I am, he wants to be to buy your product. What does he buy? Is it a license? Does he buy some kind of tool or what does he do?
Yeah. The beauty of our system is just a subscription. So you don't need any IT integration. There is no, it doesn't take time or cost to become an SGN client. You simply, you sign up to our platform. You have a 12-month running subscription. And then you have access to everything that we offer. It's like Netflix, but we, being a small company, we also have a very, what I would say, a flexible pricing strategy. We price the product according to the value we believe the client will get. So if you are a multinational client, of course, the price will be higher than if you are a small freight forwarder. I think it's very reasonable, our product offering, and we're continuously developing the product with added functionality, added analysis, and this we do after getting feedback from our clients. Can you do this? Can you do that?
Yeah.
With 5 million data points, 80,000 port call combinations, and 700 ships today. It's a lot of stuff we can do, but it's kind of chicken or egg. So we have already a very extensive offering, but this will only develop as time goes.
Yes, because of course many of the viewers of this channel here that I'm conducting is mainly, they are mainly into project cargo and MPV vessels and heavy lift and are project forwarders in their own right. But definitely it is something I also hear when we have our own conferences around the world that people are starting to talk more about this green. But like you said, there are a lot of words out there, and CII and this and that, and IMCO and green, and people are so busy in their everyday life just to make ends meet. So I think it's maybe for some it's been on the back burner. But if you are the one that can promote this also to, let's say, smaller fish in the sea, I think that's commendable.
Yeah, I mean, the smaller fish are as important as the big fish, or even maybe more important. So so we are small with 35 people in total. The shipping team is 5. So we're small, but we all come from the industry. We understand the lingo and the dynamics of the industry. And as I said, right now, it's RoRo, that's the focus. But the next one out is MPVs. And joining you in Thailand next week, meeting a lot of the CLC members and Cross Ocean, I would really like to not only sell my product, but also get feedback from these people working in the industry every day. You know, what kind of commercial KPIs are important for MPVs? Because that's liner, that's spot. You know, it's really about getting their feedback and knowledge on the MPV market.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
So am I, and definitely there's a big chance. We both have speakers from the MPV market. We have one of the major container carriers, plus about 60 members from around the world. So that'll be a good one. One of the final question I'll ask you here, Stian. What do you, well, you in a way said it already that this snowball can no longer be stopped, but how do you see, is it difficult to come from a shipping career which has been very varied for you to suddenly go in to sell something to your old mates, so to speak? Is that a difficult transition?
Difficult or maybe it's easier. You know, I think one of the things that attracted me to shipping in general, and since I worked a lot with breakbulk in Höegh, is the dynamics of the shipping industry and the relationship between people and talking to people, various cultures, languages, time zones. It's in the end of the day, we focus a lot on the steel, but business is done between people. And I think it's a big advantage for me having a rather vast network in the industry that helps me in my current new adventure in SGN, which so far I have to say has been very, very interesting and rewarding. So let's see, you never know what tomorrow brings, but so far so good.
Well, it's very interesting, Stian. No, of course I know you from before you in your other career, so I know you're most capable in whatever you do. So I think this is a very interesting product, and I know that many of our viewers will really, they will get their head around it, and if not, they will be forced to by whatever whatever regulations are coming that way. I think finally, I would like to say, really, Stian, many, many thanks for a great interview. Unless you have anything last you would like to tell our viewers, besides buying your product, of course.
Yes. No, not really. I would just like to say that I'm looking forward to seeing those who are joining the CLC conference in Thailand next week. I will be there from Sunday to Thursday. So that will be really great. And in the meantime, if there's any questions, please feel free to reach out. Don't be a stranger. Me and my team are ready for any question or interest that may be in the market. So excellent. Thank you very much, Bo.
You're most welcome. I will convey that. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview, of course, by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Stian Åmli. He is the Vice President Shipping of SGN, based in Oslo, Norway. It's been a pleasure talking to him. And we do have to change to green colors in all we do in the future, that's for sure. So for all of you, stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.